It is indeed an honor to write the introduction to Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed, a book that is unquestionably a classic as it has throughout this last half century, become increasingly more relevant as the 21st century ushers the world into a very dark new age. Leading intellectuals such as Noam Chomsky, Zygmunt Bauman, Henri Giraud, Arundhati Roy, Amy Goodman, Thomas Piketty, among others, have wisely and incessantly alerted people around the world of the dire consequences, that is, denial of climate change, obscene economic inequality, potential nuclear catastrophe of the far-right power hegemony that, if left unchecked, may potentially result in the end of humanity as we know it. Thus, not only must an alternative political course be taken, but central to its agenda must also be the development of people's critical awareness of how they are in the world and with the world, a posture which Freire insisted upon and which informed his brilliant and insightful ideals in Pedagogy of the Oppressed. He sat alone on the solitary bench overlooking the pond on the corner of his property. There was a hardcover book on his lap, his hand grasping a pen. The wealthy gardener scribbled a verse as an introduction to his finished manuscript. The moral is clear as I look back at these lessons now that I am of age, that the book of one's life is determined by the courage contained in each page. These lines would serve as an opening to a subject more complex than most people imagined. The truth is, he believed, there was never just one ingredient that led to his financial freedom. It was always a way of life. And this way of life was noble. The wealthy gardener recalled how, in the early days, his friends had judged him to be a workaholic without work-life balance. They had advised him to slow down, take it easy, enjoy more leisure, and live for the day. Why not be content with your life? Can't you be satisfied with normal conditions? Many things in life are more important than money, they had told him. Why work so hard? Many things are indeed more important than money, agreed the wealthy gardener. But overcoming the money problem allows us to focus on these important things. Without money and time, we yield little power over life. Think of a city 750 miles or 1,200 kilometers from where you are right now. Imagine yourself walking there, cross-country in the dead of winter, pulling with you everything you will need along the way. Everything includes your tent and sleeping bag, all your food and the means to prepare it, the fuel to melt the ice for drinking water, heavy navigational instruments, and, of course, a sledge on which to haul it all. The moment you arrive, you turn around and start walking all the way back to where you started. Imagine that you have embarked upon this journey with seven others, and that during your 2 months together, all of you became closer through this shared experience. Soon you will be parting company, some to continue on toward a still more distant goal, and some to return. The four who will go on are, of course, those most fit to do so. Those sent home have not quite made the grade. Your leader will decide today who stays and who returns. For those returning, there will be nothing new, no discovery, no glory, just a long and dreary walk until you reach base once more.